Good evening.
Good evening.
I can't believe someone hasn't tasted Marmite. That's horrendous. My favourite sandwich is Marmite and strong cheddar cheese. Lovely, that is. You're missing out now. You're missing out. And it's funny, isn't it? You can tell how old someone is by their favourite Disney film, isn't it? My favourite Disney film is Jungle Book. The original one. And that threw me completely off. I like evening service because I can call him Young. Young Nick always gives us a chapter, and often he gives us a title. Now, sometimes it's hard enough to preach with the chapter, but sometimes the title just gives you that straitjacket, you know, and you go, oh. But this time he gave me a title that just sent me off in a completely different way. He gave me the title, Laughter and Grace. Oh, lovely, laughter and grace. So that really got me thinking all sorts of thoughts. So Young Nick did well this time. So this pause, and then we'll dig into this passage before us. Bless you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, some of us have come from quiet days. Some of us come from hectic days, some of us come from quiet weeks, and some of us come from completely manic weeks where there's hardly a moment of pause in it. And so, Lord, I just pray that you help us all to pause before you now, that we'll open our lives before you as we open your word. And Lord, may you open our ears to hear you, and may you open our hearts to receive from you. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness and love to us. Amen. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. Amen. So we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 21, what we heard read. I would like to start with a few questions that I would not like the answer to be shouted out. One time I was preaching in a Nigerian church in Birmingham, and I was asking some questions like this, and people were shouting out the answers, and I was not expecting that, and that was quite fun. But I don't expect you to shout out the answers, so please control yourselves. So there'll be three words we're going to look at tonight: laughter and grace, but also this lovely word, promise. So the first question for you tonight is promises. Have we ever been promised something or anything we've been promised, but how long did you have to wait for that promise to be fulfilled? You know, I'm not very good at waiting. Often I say, Lord, give me patience, but hurry. But promises. How long have we waited for something? Are we still waiting for something? That's a very important question, first question. Who is good at waiting? How many of us really enjoy waiting? Nowadays, I think we're getting less and less patience with waiting. Sometimes I receive a text message on my phone, and if I don't respond to it straight away, if I take, you know, maybe 5 minutes to respond, I get another message. You have not responded to this message. So, are we good at waiting? That's the second question. Laughter. Now, some of you who know me know that I like a good laugh, and I like a joke now and again. Some people say my jokes are not funny. But laughter. When was the last time we laughed? But more specifically, when did we really laugh at something God said? That's a thought for you. Grace. There's another question. Grace. Do we understand what true grace really is? And do we live by that grace every day? And do we remember? Do we always remember God gives us enough grace each and every day? So I'm sorry, I ask many, many questions, I know, but I'm a dad and I get fed up if everybody keeps asking me questions, so when I stand up here I can ask the questions. But it's important to ask questions. I always tell people it's very important to ask questions, but it's also very important to receive the answers. Don't keep asking questions, but we also must receive the answers, which is also a very important thing to do. So we'll be looking at Genesis 21. Hopefully some of these questions I posed at the beginning, we will start seeing some answers as we're going through. So I split up our passage tonight, as a good man should do, in three parts to this sermon. We have verses 1 to 8, the birth of Isaac, Sarah's joy. Then we have Ishmael mocks Isaac, verses 9 to 13. And finally, Hagar and Ishmael cast out, that's 14 to 21. So let us begin with the birth of Isaac, Sarah's joy. And I love the beginning of this chapter. It says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah." The Lord was gracious. Isn't that lovely? We have a God who is gracious. So often when I speak to people who do not have a faith, always see God as someone who's angry, a judge, but God is gracious. So good that we come to a God who is gracious to us. It's a good place to start. And it says, "Now God was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." So God is a gracious God, and he is a God of promise. God of promise and a God of grace. Wonderful attributes to hold on to. God comes to this old couple. Sarah's, well, being an English gentleman, I will not mention her age, but she's pushing on a bit. And her husband, who's 100 years old, been waiting for a child. They've done some serious waiting. Sarah's been waiting for this baby all her life. That's a serious wait. I asked in the beginning, how good are we at waiting? How good are we at waiting all our life for a promise to come? That's a wonderful thought to think about. And in that culture where a childless woman is looked down upon and mocked and ridiculed and spoken about, but to hold on to that promise. Are we good at waiting? Do we hold on to that God of promise that he will bring about what he said? Because it says, the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And don't lose that lovely little few words in my Bible. It says, at the very time God had promised. See, a promise of God doesn't depend on us. Doesn't depend on us. It depends on God's timing. We can't hurry up. Abraham tried to hurry things up and got himself in a big mess about trying to hurry things up. So it doesn't matter how spiritually up we are or spiritually down we are, God will still bring about the promise at his time. So hopefully we're good at waiting for God's time. And I like the name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. So with God's promise comes laughter. Isaac is a type of Christ, meaning that Christ, Jesus Christ, was promised and it was fulfilled at the right time. Isaac was promised and he came at God's perfect time. Isaac, the promised child. And through Isaac came the blessings of the nations through this line. Isaac, laughter. It's lovely to have a boy called Laughter, isn't it? I know, like in the Finnish language, there is a boy's name called Onni, which means happiness. So, you know, there are cultures that still have this name in there that we can call a child. Lovely to grow up with a name, Laughter, and bring in so much joy. A baby, when it's born, can bring so much joy. After waiting so long for God's promise comes at that very time. I still can't believe Sarah, how long Sarah must have waited. Abraham seems to, you know, be focused on, but I keep thinking about Sarah, how much she bore that shame of not having a child. And a definition of promise I found in the dictionary, which I think is very helpful. It says a declaration that someone or something will be given to you. So you promise you will do something to someone and give something to them. It's very hard as a dad. You try to make promises to your children. As a parent, we often promise our children many things, and it's very disappointing if you can't fulfill your promises. What joy comes! What laughter comes! Imagine Abraham having a child at 100 years old. You kind of would break out into laughter about that, wouldn't you? Imagine how old he would be when Isaac turns into a teenager. Anyway, so I'm sure he would have had a bit of a laugh about that. You're having a baby at 100. But Sarah, what joy it is to have a baby after waiting all that time. She must have laughed with such joy. And the people around must have laughed with such joy that this baby is now born. Sarah has a baby. You know, the insurance companies often will call an act of God something that happens that cannot be explained any other way. So you could say, in a broader sense, that Isaac was an act of God. It was impossible for an old couple like this to have a baby. Only God could brought it about. So Abraham might have been at the low edge spiritually, but the promise still came. Wasn't dependent on Abraham's faith, even though Abraham's faith is a marvelous thing to look back on. Abraham is seen as the father of many different world religions. So people look back, the Jewish people, the Christian people, and even the Muslim people look back to Abraham. But God, who is gracious and the God of promise, is the one we should focus on. God wants us in this particular relationship. This relationship with him, the God of promise, the God who is gracious, the God who is loving, the God who will bring about his purposes. But then we get into verse 9. We have this family gathering. I love family gatherings. But they don't always go to plan, do they? You get everything organized. And here they are. Ishmael is around. Isaac is now grown up a little bit. He's about 2 or 3 in this instant. And the feast begins. All the family are there. And there's Ishmael. He's about in his late teens now. And a bit of a teenager. And he starts mocking this. We don't know really what's going on, but he mocks Isaac. This might be just having a bit of fun, but Sarah sees it as a threat to her son, and a threat to her son's inheritance. And Sarah, rightly so, she wants no more of this, and she wants both of them out of the house. She wants Ishmael and Hagar to be rid of. And so she tells Abraham to deal with it. And I'm sure Abraham dealt with it reluctantly. He's the sort of man who seems not want to cause any trouble. He's a sort of a man who I think he still was very concerned about both his sons and also Hagar. But he knew he needed to do something. And it's lovely again, we get this God stepping in again. Verse 12. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And I will make the son of your maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." So because of Ishmael's inheritance through Abraham, Ishmael will receive a promise and a nation will be formed through him. It's interesting if you talk to Muslim people, they get the two sons all muddled up, and it's Ishmael who's been offered on the mountain of sacrifice, and not Isaac. It's all very, they get the two brothers correct, but they swap them around. Because for Muslim people, they trace their ancestry back to Ishmael and then to Abraham through Ishmael. So the promise of a great nation is given to Abraham for Ishmael. And so Abraham reluctantly sends them off. And that's what we see in verse 14 to 21. Hagar and Ishmael is cast out. And this is another one of these funny bits that you, when you start looking at it, you begin to realize by casting them out like this, Abraham is saying, "You will no longer have a part of my inheritance." You know, so by casting them out, he's cutting them off from the family and saying, "No more from the family." Abraham was probably feeling quite bad about this. He's never really spent a day without Ishmael, and I'm sure he had quite attachment to Ishmael, and but he sends them on the way, and Hagar finds herself in the desert. She went on her way and wandered in the desert. Me being a bit of a naughty person, when I read that, I think to myself, if she had a TomTom, she would not get lost in the desert. But she did not have satellite navigation, so she ended up wandering in the desert. The water runs out, and she's in the desert. But remember, Ishmael is not a little boy. He is sort of late teens, the best commentaries say. So he's quite grown up at this time. But by when you read these verses here, you can get different thoughts about how old he is. The boy goes and sits under a bush. She cries, but it's interesting that God hears the boy's cry, the boy's tears, not Hagar's. I don't know if that's any significance. I couldn't find in the commentaries any significance of that. But it says that God heard the boy's crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. So there you are. God hears even our tears. God is a God of graciousness, and he steps in again. It's lovely. Verse 17 is playing with words, because it said the Lord heard the boy crying. That's a pun on Ishmael's name, which means heard. So the Lord heard, that's what Ishmael means, and the Lord God heard his crying. Very clever. So God comes to Hagar, reinforces his promise that this boy would be taken care of, a nation would come from him, and God was with the boy as he grew up, it says in verse 20. And he lived in the desert. Not a really best place for growing up, but Ishmael grew up in the desert, and I'm sure that made a man of him. Surviving in the desert is not an easy thing, but that would make a very tough person. So God loves to give to his people, and he loves to take care of his people. So this story teaches us many things. It teaches us about our waiting. Teach us about our depending upon God, even when things don't seem to be going right. Are we good at waiting then? Are we really good at waiting? Are we willing to wait for those promises? I don't know how many of you had a promise from God long ago and we're still waiting for an answer. I know for myself, I waited for so long for my family to become Christians, because I come from a home where I'm the only Christian in the household, and still I'm waiting. My mum and dad died, and I'm not sure where they were when they died. I still long for my brothers, and I still don't know where they are. Madhu still longing for her family. She's the only Christian in a Hindu family. So promises, we hold on to them. But it's so hard to wait for those promises to come about. God promised another son, his son Jesus Christ, the son of a promise, the promised Saviour. When I look at the storms that are going across the Caribbean, how do you hold on to promises when things like that happen to your home, to your family? When God brought about his promise of Isaac, it brought about laughter. And I believe that when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, that also can restore that laughter again. But that's easy enough for me to say in Holy Trinity, in Old Hill. If your house has been completely blown away, you lost everything, can you say, I will laugh again, Lord? Because our laughter doesn't depend on our circumstances. Our laughter depends on knowing Christ and knowing that we are truly forgiven. We are restored. We are forgiven. So we can laugh again. We have that peace, that joy that comes from knowing that we know him and he knows us. It's that living, loving relationship with God. See, God doesn't only want to forgive us of our sins, he wants to restore us and bring wholeness to us. That helps us to laugh again. One thing what I've been learning over this particular year is finishing well. I know last time I spoke, I talked about this lesson that God's trying to teach me to finish well. Not only start well and enjoy God now, but to finish well. To laugh again, to be restored those joys, and to know God, and to know him as Lord and Saviour. There's a lovely book called Laugh Again, and I believe that God is in the business of restoring us and helping us to find that joy deep within and be able to laugh again. I still think of Abraham as that old man, and to see that young baby, totally impossible to be born. He was restored. I think his faith would have been immensely increased to see the impossible happen. But the impossible has happened to all of us who, if we call ourselves Christian, the impossible has happened. God has given us a promise of a Saviour. We could not save ourselves. We were impossible to do that. But God did that by sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. Surely, surely doesn't that bring us joy? Surely doesn't that restore our laughter again? Or is it only me? Laughter and grace, Nick told me. Grace is not only my daughter and Charles's daughter, but that lovely Sunday school word, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I was sitting with a Sudanese Muslim man a month or so ago. And we were talking about meanings of name. And he said to me, he said, what is your daughter's name? And I said, my daughter's name is Grace. He said, what is Grace? I do not understand the name Grace. What does it mean? I love it when people open the door wide so you walk through. With tears in his eyes, he said to me, we don't have that such a teaching as that in Islam. Such a wonderful thing grace is. Never, ever get tired of grace. Grace is wonderful. Grace is amazing. Grace is awesome. Surely that will help us laugh again. God has given us the victory. Laugh again. We live in the relationship with God. I'm sorry, but for a man like me, I don't have this lovely blessing of having a Christian family, a Christian who brought me up and took me to Sunday school. I didn't have that. I came a Christian at the age of 23, nearly 24, from a completely non-church background. So to be called a child of God now, I still can't get that in my head. That's awesome. That's amazing grace. To know that I'm adopted into the family of God, and the God who made this wonderful world is now my Father. Surely that's restored my laughter, that restores my joy, and we can laugh again. God is our Father, and I believe God is particularly the Father of all those who call on Christ as Lord and Saviour. So I think I should end there. otherwise Nick will drag me away from this. Keep waiting for those promises. Enjoy them when they come. Enjoy the richness of God's grace. Allow God to restore your laughter and your joy, and live every day in the relationship with Him and call Him Father. Never be ashamed of calling God your Father. Let's just pause and close with a prayer. Bless you, Lord, that you do the impossible. You give a baby to an old couple. You allow them to laugh again. You bring about your promise just at the right time. You've given us Jesus, your promised Son. And He comes to us just at the right time. Lord, many of us shudder at what life might be if we did not receive Christ at that particular time in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you will restore the joy of our salvation, joy of your salvation, and help us, Lord, to learn to laugh again and to enjoy that grace that comes each and every day. Enough for each and every day. Enough for us to live 100% for you. Bless you, Father God, for this message to us tonight.